Hope everybody's feeling good. Ready to start your Friday and how many nights you should make today. And we're here to recreate a podcast for what happened last year at my local mosque sister circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to have a session on all things around personal finance. We covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me. Let's get started. So, Ramadan Kareem, everyone. In today's episode, we're going to go through the best practices of managing our charitable portfolio. And the idea for this episode came to me when I was reading this article on the psychology of money by the Yakin Institute. And it's a really long article, but part of that article talks about the idea of us investing in our charity work throughout our lifetime. And what I loved about the article is that it gave some really interesting comparisons between the best practices that we know about investing and how they can be applied to our charitable investing portfolio as well. And the thing that resonated with me most is that the important difference between the two is that only our charitable portfolio is the thing that we can take with us when we go. And that's incredibly powerful. The idea that every action that we do could have a philanthropic element to it, and we're able to almost encourage ourselves to invest more into charity and feel like we're building our spiritual net worth as well. And so without further ado, I'll get started with the first one, which is all about investing early. So what does it look like to invest early when it comes to your charitable giving? The same when we talk about compounding returns with your stocks and shares, these also apply to charitable giving, and that your charity can grow at an exponential rate too. But the real thing that helps compounding returns is the idea of starting very early. Now, I can't talk about this from a perspective of a parent, so I'm just going to think about myself as a child, and when did I first think about the idea of giving to charity, and I honestly can't remember, which hopefully is a good thing. But I really encouraged myself to hit a reset button when I started to earn my own money, and once I finished school, about what is it that I'm contributing to the world in terms of charitable giving. And the article is really very straightforward in saying that, you know, starting early and giving while you don't have a lot is important because it helps you give more when you do have a lot more to give. Now, I'm not talking about Zakat. I'm talking about simply giving regularly to charity, because Zakat is almost like what you owe your money, whereas here I'm talking about the idea of something that you do regularly. The great thing about setting a small amount as part of your salary every month, and it's really almost becomes like part of your budget, and having that be part of a zero-based budget, meaning that every penny has a name, you can almost feel really I think it plays a big role in making you feel more content about your budget. And so the idea here is simply to set aside a fixed amount every month that you feel like it's part of your budget, which I feel like it almost forces you to go through that exercise to begin with. The whole idea of this is that by starting small, you allow it to grow steadily over time. And this goes back to the idea of compounding returns. And to me, the reason I say that is more as almost like a hack, because you having any amount of wealth, let's say in 3 decades' time, you are enormously wealthy. That in of itself is a test, and you don't really want to make that hard for yourself. I have like huge reservations about the idea that people are able to just wake up one day and say, I'm giving 5 million to charity. I feel like those that are able to give a lot is because, you know, perhaps even when they didn't have a lot, giving to charity was part of their way of being. But sticking strictly to the idea of compounding returns, starting small is the way that you're able to give a lot when you have more to give. But not only that, it allows you to have discipline toward when it comes to your giving. Whilst the money is a key point about investing early, it's not the be-all and end-all of it all, because we have benefits of our time as well. We have time on our side when we're young. And so the second side of this investing early is that there are things that you're able to do when you're younger or starting off in your career that can help you in improve your charitable giving when you're more experienced. And here I'm talking about not underestimating using your skills to amplify your charitable donations. And so a huge thing about this is the idea that, you know, the best teachers are often the people that are a couple of years ahead of you. Even spending time sharing your resources or showing up to talk about your experience to a group of people who'd be interested is something that is a wealth of experience that is more valuable coming from you than coming from someone who's been in that role for 30 years, because you've managed to do whatever it is that the person behind you is trying to do in that moment. The second side of it, another example, is feeling like your skills themselves can improve over time. So let's say that you really want to be someone who builds a hospital one day, but it might sound difficult to do today. But there are things that you can think about helping with today that in decades' time will put you in a stronger position to build that hospital. I really encourage anyone to think big when it comes to what you could possibly do with your charitable donations or your charitable efforts. A good example of this for me personally, which I hadn't really realized, the idea that through your charitable giving, you can learn some cool skills that could develop over time. Looking at charity work as almost a way for you to learn a completely new skill, and almost fast forwarding many years in advance and think, what would it look like if I was really good at this? How many more people could I possibly impact? And you'll be surprised how much you're able to give even when you don't actually have the skills yet. And the last one it's almost the purest form of starting early. You know, the analogy is, if you had to plant a tree, the best time was 20 years ago, the best time is today, the second best time is today. I feel like perhaps that's what I would want to do as a parent in future, is probably teach my kids, inshallah, the importance of planting trees, because that is a really physical, like, it's like a very visual representation of how the efforts that you did a long time ago helped people in the future. And so the second big comparison between your investment portfolio and your charitable portfolio is the idea of having to be consistent with your investments. We talk about that in the context of dollar cost averaging, which is the way that you can benefit from investing a little but often. That way you're able to smoothen out your entry into the market, and also it allows you to weather highs and lows. Now, the same applies, I think, with how is it that you show up to your charitable work. Now, your routines in life is what we fall back on. So it's not just the commitment of starting early, but also the commitment of continuing into the future and keep doing that throughout your life is also an effective way to strengthen your charitable portfolio. And looking back, and I get asked this at interviews a lot, which is like, what motivates you to actually show up for charity work? And I've come to this conclusion more now than I did in the past. But looking back, for example, in my school days, whenever we had to do anything for charity, if you're not motivated by a grade, it taps into, I think, another level of your discipline and motivation. When you're a bit older, if you're not doing the things that you're doing motivated by a paycheck, that also is a different level of discipline. You know, doing it just for the sake of pleasing Allah rather than being motivated by a paycheck or being motivated by a grade, that is, you can find that a lot in being consistent with your charity. Now, I started this second point by talking about routines, and it's true. Wouldn't that be so good that we get to the point where we're doing what we're doing just because that's what we've always done? And how powerful would that be if that thing is actually something that benefits others? That's the kind of level that I kind of want to get to. So a good example I've thought of is getting into the habit of donating stuff, extending the life cycle of you thinking about wanting to buy a new shirt and buying the new shirt, but also really embracing the part of how you'll get rid of that shirt. And maybe you have a routine of regularly cleaning out your closet and donating it to charity. Another thing about this that you can rely on hacks is the fact that there are some events in the year that happen every year. And so you can build charitable routines around those events. You may do so even in terms of the, if you're not giving money, you could also do it in terms of the activities that you do. So one example is sports. Running is a popular sponsored activity. And a lot of these runs happen every year, especially if you live in a major city. They are actually events that people even go and show up to. So even if you're not a runner, if you make it your routine that you show up very early on a Sunday morning with a coffee, cheering on the people who are running the London Marathon, that could just be a routine that you build into your life. But you may also take part in some of these races and kind of commit to doing that for many years. So the whole concept of that is, come rain or shine, being consistent with your charity work allows you to maintain it irrespective of the weather. The last point, the third, which is also a really crucial rule when it comes to investing, is the idea of us diversifying our charitable investments. Alhamdulillah, our good deeds are able to continue even when we're not there. But not only that, even when we are here, something that we did that was good can continue on when we're no longer doing that thing. So the idea of diversifying our charitable investments is a way to amplify that effect. You could get to the point, you know, when people say that you make money when you're sleeping, you could be getting to the point where people are benefiting from the good things that you have put out in the world even when you're sleeping. So the article just encourages people to diversify their giving to a variety of causes. Of course, it's normal for people to have preferences over certain projects, but they should still invest in a variety of righteous causes. And examples can include the masjid, schools, poverty relief, education, social issues, the environment. And the idea behind this is to ensure that you as a person are able to reap a return on that investment. And here, it's almost an opportunity for us to be bold with our charitable giving, perhaps. It's also an opportunity for you to embark on a new project, develop a new interest, or even set a really huge stretch goal. For example, if you've never raised a huge amount of money by doing this incredibly cool thing, you might try that challenge. And that could be the new thing that you do that year. For example, if you've always wanted to set up a fundraising event with a friend, that could be a project that you give license to yourself to do. And I truly believe that, you know, charitable causes, you don't need a reason to care about a particular cause. In many ways, it's the other way around. The causes are the ones that choose you. So I would really just encourage people to go with the flow. If you're faced with a problem that you somehow, it moves you in a way. So I would encourage you to really lean into it. I also feel like this is also an opportunity for us to embrace the fact that we as people will be learning things as well by taking on projects like these. I gave the fundraising example. If you learn how to set up a huge fundraising event, that will include having to give a speech. That will also include having to do marketing. And all of these skills are actually things that could help you in your own career. And I'm a really big proponent of finding opportunities to get better at things when the stakes aren't so high. And when we're all showing up for charity, who cares if you stumble through a speech? You're just getting better at it. It is also almost like a double benefit to yourself. With charitable giving, the whole idea of it being an investment that is the only thing that stays with you, I think helps me get my head around it. It helps me take more ownership of it and feel like I have agency over trying to get better at this and using it as an opportunity to, you know, build my spiritual net worth. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was the first one in a series of us reflecting together on some topics that have important influences on our financial mindset as Muslims during the month of Ramadan, Ramadan Kareem. I will see you next Jummah. Bye for now.